Hi, Rosebuds. I know it's been a while. Life has been crazy. We got good news recently, and my husband is in remission. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and now he's in remission. We just have to monitor it for 2 years. So to celebrate, I decided to release the first episode of the second season. So welcome back. We will do everything that you guys love, which is drink, smoke some weed, and go over true crime stories. Today's true crime story follows the Bennington Triangle of Vermont, which you may have never heard of, but there are a lot of weird happenings that happen there. If you've heard of the Bermuda Triangle, you would know basically what it's about. So go grab your weed, go grab your wine, and let's dive in to this true crime. Hello, my little baby cakes. I will be starting this episode as we always do, but I just wanted to say I've missed you guys. I've missed recording this. I appreciate all the messages I have received on social media and just checking in with me or checking in on how my husband's doing or seeing how school is going. I love sharing parts of my life with you guys because you are the best listeners a girl could ask for. So let's get into the strain of the day. Right now, I'm smoking a skunky bud called Cherry Slurpee. I'm smoking out of a bowl today. I had COVID a couple weeks ago, so my lungs are hurting. So there is no smoking bongs right now unless I want to cough for 24 hours and die. So I give this plant a 7 out of 10 leaves. It's delicious tasting, gets me really high. I wouldn't recommend it if you have to do something. It is one of those indicas where you're in the couch and you are not moving. Instead of wine tonight, I am sipping on a Tito's club soda and a splash of crayon. Call me a basic bitch if you want. Because I am. I don't even deny that. Also, I am now partnered with Crescent Canna, and I have eaten one of their moons, they call them. They are edibles that are gummies, and they are delicious. I give them a 10 out of 10 leaves if you want to get a nice edible high, which we all know is more of like a body thing. I recommend them highly, and you can get 25% off your order by using my code, which is CRIME25, all capitals. So CRIME25, all caps, and you get 25% off your order. I highly suggest these. They are delicious. I personally love the blue raspberry the best, and I would love if you guys got them. Find me on social media and tell me what you think. So grab your bowl, grab your blunt, grab your joint, grab your dab rig, grab your vape, grab your drink, your wine, your soda, your alcohol, and let's get in to the mystery that is known as the Bennington Triangle of Vermont. It became called this by a man named Joseph A. Citro, and it basically takes up the towns of Glastonbury, which is now a ghost town. It used to be big for the logging community, but as the logging community died out, it ended up abandoned at the end of the 19th century. It's a giant wilderness. That's all you can imagine. Just imagine like pine trees, oak trees. They're just trees for miles. It's untouched and nobody lives out there anymore. So, I mean, obviously that is the startings of something creepy happening. I don't care. Like ghost town, wilderness, something creepy is gonna happen. So in this area, there have been a string of disappearances, and they started in 1945 and went over the span of 5 years. A 74-year-old hunting guide was leading a party of hunters around, and the area they were checking out is known as Hell Hollow. And it's in the southwest part of Glastonbury, so yes. So this guy clearly knows the woods, knows hunting, knows survival skills, I'm assuming. And all of a sudden, he became lost, and nobody could find him. The initial search for him was extremely unsuccessful, didn't turn up any evidence of him, but people assumed this guy's like Bear Grylls. I don't know if he's actually like Bear Grylls. I mean, the dude was 74, but I like to imagine a 74-year-old Bear Grylls out there. And they weren't worried. They were just thinking, you know, he can survive. If anybody can survive out there, it's him. And he'll be able to find his way home. And we don't really need to worry about it. However, he never returned back. More than 300 concerned locals and U.S. Army soldiers were dispatched from Massachusetts Fort Devens and combed through the vast wilderness for over a week. So they combed through there for 8 days. And there was not a footprint, not a marking, nothing. They came up with absolutely zero evidence for where this hunting guide went. So this is weird because he can clearly navigate. He knows how to use a compass. He's a guide. And he was the only one that went missing. And yeah, I mean, that's just really strange. Our poor 74-year-old Bear Grylls is just gone. So the next case becomes infamous in Vermont. And it's well known in their history. And this is the disappearance of Paula Weldon in the same area. She, as we know, it's called the Bennington Triangle. And she was an 18-year-old student at Bennington College. And she decided one day, hey, I'm going to go for a hike. And like I said, that area is a ghost town now. And lots of wooded area, so it's a good place for a hike. I'm sure it's beautiful. So many parts of Vermont are beautiful. Vermont has given us amazing things like good weed, skiing, and Ben and Jerry's. And if you're in the Northeast, you've probably been to Vermont because it is a popular destination for people to visit. I'm from the Northeast, and I've been there multiple times. Love Smuggler's Notch. Luckily, never went to Bennington, and I never disappeared, obviously, or else this podcast would probably be making a whole lot more money than it actually is. So she decided to hike what was known as Long Trail, and it was when everybody was on Thanksgiving break. And so they're not at college anymore. They returned home for the holiday. Now, so this means it's even more dead around there, and never go do something when all of your friends are not there to check in on you. Never. I can't tell you all the times it's like, oh, everybody went on break, and so this girl stayed and went for a walk and never returned. Like, don't do it, ladies and men. Just don't do it. It's like a bad horror movie where I'm telling you not to run up the stairs. Do not do it. Always have the buddy system. I don't care how old you are. I am 32 and I clearly am into true crime, but it scares me. So I always make sure my husband knows where I am or my friends or whatever. Back to the story. She was last seen Sunday, December 1st in 1946. And she dressed so people could spot her while she was hiking, which is good because, like, you might think, oh, well, she went hiking by herself and maybe she got shot by a hunter and that's why she was never found. but she was wearing a bright red shirt. And it said that it was very easy to spot, very easy to tell that she was a human and not a deer rustling through the woods. So she never shows up ever after entering Long Trail. So this makes a massive search party evolve from the college because she's not there Monday. That's really not like Weldon. So they decide they need to search for her. A group of 1,000 people searched and they put out a reward of $5,000, which in the 1940s, that's a lot of money. I can't tell you how much it's worth, like, in today's terms, but $5,000 was a lot of money in the 1940s. Despite the large turnout, numerous aircrafts utilized. So they had the copters that fly over and search for people. If you've ever seen, like, a search and rescue show, you know what I'm talking about. They specifically look and are trained to look for people on the ground from the helicopter. And a few law enforcement departments from the area all helped in this search. Once again, no evidence turns up, and we never learn what happened to poor Paula. She, unlike 74-year-old Bear Grylls, wasn't a survivalist, didn't lead hunting groups, so maybe she just got lost, but it just seems very coincidental, and it's also weird there's no evidence, because, like, when I first read this stuff, I was thinking maybe bear attack or something. But, like, obviously, bears leave behind, there would be blood. The whole body doesn't disappear. There would be footprints even, maybe. But where are these people going where there is zero evidence of their existence on this mountain left behind? That is my huge question. So the authorities were criticized because they said that they weren't using sophisticated in 1940s. Don't think sophisticated for today, like DNA and stuff, because that's a long time away from being a thing. In handling the case, and this is what actually caused the founding of the Vermont State Police 7 months later. And as we all know, Vermont State Police is still an active department in Vermont to this day. So due to Paula's disappearance, the state troopers, the Vermont State Police were made. Don't get me started on state troopers. They're the biggest jerks of all cops. They probably have the worst God complex out of any cop. Besides female cops. And I'm saying that as a girl. I would love to meet a nice female cop, but hasn't happened yet. I would love it, though. I'm happy there are female cops. I'm happy it's equal, but they just always feel like they need to make up for something and they're rude. And troopers are the same way. I don't get what their problem is. So, 3 years to the day after vanishing in the Bennington Triangle, it saw one of its more supernatural disappearances, they call it. Now, I think the first two are supernatural, even though there isn't evidence of that either. But the lack of any evidence leads me to believe something weird is happening in this triangle where people just go bye-bye and you never hear from them again. Like, what is happening? But this one is known for being supernatural. So a 68-year-old, what is with all the older men going on this trail to hike? A 68-year-old man named James E. Tedford gets on a bus. He goes to Bennington. He's going to visit relatives in a different town called St. Albans in Vermont. And later on his trip, there were a bunch of eyewitnesses and a driver that confirmed that Tedford had been in his seat as late as the last stop before Bennington. Yet, when the bus pulls into Bennington, Tedford is nowhere to be found. So these people see the guy on the bus. The driver sees him. And then he's just gone. He just disappears. Like, what? That is so weird. I know this isn't like our normal true crime either, but I find stuff like this so interesting. I know we focus mostly on murders, but like, what happened to old 68-year-old Jimmy Teddy? Like, where'd you go, bro? I want to know. Like, how did people just see him, not see him get off the bus, and then he just disappeared and everybody just went on with their lives? Like, that's just a normal thing to happen. It's like literally mind-blowing to me. I imagine when I first read that, my face literally looked like the mind-blowing emoji where the head's exploding and the mouth is agape. Yes. So he just vanishes into thin air inside a moving vehicle. No big deal. That's not weird at all. And then it was also noted that his luggage and a bus timesheet for arrivals and departures were found on his seat. So if he got off the bus voluntarily, which is what would have happened, why would he leave his luggage? And how did nobody see him? And it's just all too weird for it to be coincidental. Like, I know people... I know science can probably prove everything I am saying about this wrong, but it's just like sometimes things are too weird for me to accept a scientific explanation. And I wonder if there is one. I looked, there wasn't any, but like he left his luggage. He left the bus sheet that he would need for the return. He was seen by the driver and eyewitnesses, and all of a sudden he's just gone. And when he disappears, the bus is traveling on a road called Route 7, which goes directly through what is the Bennington Triangle. A year later, in mid-October 1950, a little boy, so not an old person like 74-year-old Bear Grylls or Jimmy Teddy, I'm so weird. Jimmy Teddy. I love it. Okay. So 8-year-old Paul Jepson goes missing. He was playing in a family pickup truck and he was last seen by his mother and he was happy. He was laughing and she went to go tend to the pigs that they had, and her husband were caretakers of these pigs. And then Paul just disappears without a trace. Nobody sees him go anywhere. There's no evidence. Hundreds assembled for the search party, and they brought in bloodhounds. The sheriff's department did brought in bloodhounds to help sniff out the boy. And the dogs were able to pick up his scent, but all of a sudden abruptly lost the trail at a crossroads. So this could, since it was at a crossroads, this could suggest an abduction where Paul got dragged into a car. But there's just so many disappearances here that with no evidence, and this one's one as well, where that's possible. And I think that is a reasonable explanation that our last buddy didn't have. Jimmy Teddy didn't have. So I don't know. It could have been a motorist. I don't think so. I'll let you form your own opinion. So the case drags. It remains cold, meaning there's no resolution to it. And people start suggesting that the parents killed him and then fed Paul to their pigs for dinner. If you know anything about pigs, or have watched any true crime, or Criminal Minds comes to mind, because there's a very specific episode with that. Pigs eat everything, including bones. So if you feed people to pigs, there's nothing left of them. Which is really crazy to think, because I love pigs, but don't trust a pig, man. They'll eat you if you're dead. At least they wait till you're dead, though, I guess. The boy's father went on to tell the Albany Times-Union that perhaps it was the lure of the mountains, and that's how the boy became missing. He had talked of nothing but the mountains for days. Now, could the parents have killed him and fed him to the pigs, and he's just saying that to defend himself? Yes. But for the case of our delve into this story, just imagine if there was a kid talking about nothing but the mountains for days, and all of a sudden he goes missing in this place where a bunch of people have disappeared without a trace. It's strange. That one does seem like it could have another explanation, that disappearance, but I'm going to keep it with the other ones just in the interest of this. But I do want to acknowledge I'm not ignorant, and I do know that could be completely possible. 2 weeks later, 53-year-old Frida Langer, who was a survivalist, she was a hiker, she was very experienced. She was like our 74-year-old Bear Grylls. Okay, so like people think she can survive in the wilderness. She went missing on the Somerset area of Long Trail, which, if you remember, Long Trail is where Paula Weldon, the college student who was going to college in Bennington, disappeared. So she goes on the Long Trail, and she goes near Glastonbury, which we know is the ghost town where everybody keeps disappearing, and follows the fate of everybody else and disappears. So they her and her cousin go out for this hike. His name is Herbert Eisner. And about a half mile into the hike, Langer fell into a stream. And so she was kind of injured. She could get back to camp and change her clothes, but it was cold. She didn't want to remain wet. And her husband was at camp because he actually hurt his knee. But her husband and her cousin never see her again. She never gets back to camp to change her clothes. She just disappears. This time, the Connecticut Coast Guard joins in the search with the U.S. Army and helicopters, as well as local aircrafts from the Vermont Aeronautics Commission, and they're all searching for Langer. And then there are 400 people with the Massachusetts National Guard searching the ground. So there are copters, there's the Coast Guard, there's the Army, there's people donating copters, there's the National Guard, 400 volunteers, and nothing is found again. No evidence whatsoever. But, bum, 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 this turns out to be the only Bennington Triangle disappearance where a body ends up turning up. Okay, so, I know, you weren't expecting it. You were just expecting her to disappear without a trace, too. But no, it gets spicy. 6 months after she went missing, her corpse was found near the Somerset Reservoir. But that is an open area that had been searched extensively numerous times. So where did her body come from? If you know what a reservoir is, that's not really, the water doesn't move intensely. It's just a man-made lake, pretty much. It could go off into like a stream or something, but she was found in the reservoir, which had been extensively searched. So now they have the body, but it had decayed so badly, no cause of death could be determined. This only fueled rumors around the area. Okay, so let's get into some of the theories that people believe. And you know some of these are going to be crazy, and I don't believe in some of them, but I think it's always fun to hear, especially when Bigfoot gets dragged into it. Because you know that he does, girl. So the Bennington Triangle has made many people in the world discuss it and talk about possibilities of what happened. Was it paranormal? Was it just a serial killer? Was it animals? So, Of course, UFOs and Bigfoot starts getting sighted in the region. I told you Bigfoot would get brought into this. I always love a true crime podcast where a suspect is Bigfoot. Others believe that there is a burst of missing people between 45 and 50 because a serial killer was in the area, which, if you look back in California, when all those serial killers were out there, there were a ton of serial killers in California, or anywhere, you know, Milwaukee with Jeffrey Dahmer or wherever, people start to go missing in groups. However, as we know, Jeffrey left a lot of evidence because he kept all of his dead bodies, but the lack of evidence and the variety in ages and genders, so we know most serial killers have a type. So they hate women with brown hair and brown eyes, so they go kill them, or they hate men who pick them up for prostitution, so they kill them. Yes, that was clearly an Eileen Wuornos. I like to bring up both genders because it does happen to both. So where is any of the evidence? This would be like one of the best serial killers ever to leave no evidence. I also want to say, though, in the 40s and early 50s, police work and what they considered evidence clearly wasn't as broad of a spectrum because they couldn't do as many things. So, but it's likely ruled out because of the no evidence, the way different genders, ages, all of that. And of course, other people contend that they met their demise at the claws of a mountain cat, like a lynx, a bobcat. However, bobcats and lynx aren't known to be aggressive to humans. Obviously, any wild animal is wild. I don't recommend you go up and touch a bobcat or a lynx. Like, please do not say Rose 420 told me to go pet this lynx because they're not mean to animals. I absolutely did not say that. I'm saying they are not known to be aggressive to humans, usually. And the other animal they thought, a catamount, which I have never even heard of until I read up on this case, has not been sighted since before 1940, and it's been declared as extinct because nobody has seen it in so long. There probably aren't any. Or they just all disappeared into this freaking triangle. Like, what the hell? There's another thing that disappeared, a catamount, which I don't know what it is, but this triangle apparently made it extinct. When looking at all of the disappearances together and hoping to discover the solution to the mysteries, there's just so little to go on. It is because the lack of evidence in almost all of the cases of the disappearances, besides Frida, whose body showed up 6 months later in an area they had searched, there was close proximity between the disappearances, obviously, because 5 years is not a huge span of time for five people to go missing. And some of them went missing within weeks of each other. Some it was longer periods. So they all were last seen around the same time of day, which is 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. and the same time of year, the final 3 months of the year. So that's a big coincidence then. So all of them 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. and in the final 3 months of the year. So October, November, December. Paranormal theories are obviously the ones that have taken hold of everybody, especially with the time and the time of year they all go missing. People figure that just something happens that time of year, in that time frame where people, something paranormal, where people go missing. So this area became known as the Bennington Triangle area. Yes, like the Bermuda Triangle, which also really interests me, but you don't really hear about it anymore, but it still really interests me. I love stuff like that. I love the unexplained, unsolved mysteries, I was one of those kids who would stay home from school sick and watch Unsolved Mysteries and then be extremely frightened because, yes, none of those mysteries were solved. So Robert Stack, I loved him. Used to scare the shit out of me, but loved him anyway. Probably what made me grow up to be such a huge horror fan, because I scared myself from an early age. I bet if the graphics weren't so bad, I bet some of the cases on that show would actually probably still frighten me. I find paranormal things or disappearances like this, or like the guy on the bus, the most frightening, just because there's no explanation for them. When you can't explain things, it's scary. So, that is it for this episode. I am so happy to be back. Give us a like or a follow on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, our handle for this show is Rose, where the O is a zero. So R0SE420, Rose420 with a zero for the O. And on Instagram, we are under the handle Weed, Wine, and True. I hope you guys add me. I've loved hearing from you. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'm going to be looking to put episodes out every other Saturday for the rest of the season. Don't forget to check out Crescent Canna and their moons, their edible moons. That's what they're called on there. And use the code CRIME25. So capital C, capital R, capital I, capital M, capital E, 25, and get 25% off your order. And then let me know what you think of them. I love them. I think they're great. So go support them. They do ship in the United States. They ship to my house, and I live in New York. You might, so go check out their website, and I will see you next time. I hope you guys have a great night.